Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Listen with your hearts. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one wins the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us.
Thanks be to God.
So the Apostle Paul. Paul was an encourager. And to that end, he used a lot of athletic imagery to talk about the Christian life. We just heard him say to the Corinthians, all runners run, but not aimlessly. In the letter to the Hebrews, he added the component of perseverance, and he told Timothy, train yourself for devotion. And while physical training is of limited value, devotion is valuable in every respect, since it holds a promise of life for both the present and the future. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul uses all sorts of athletic imagery, references to running and fighting and wrestling and gladiator contests. And this is a good week for athletic metaphors as the Rio Olympics come to an end. But Paul's sports talk is actually rather surprising. It is true that in the first century, spectator sports were an important part of the life of every city. This was especially true of Corinth, which boasted complete facilities for every kind of sport. And in fact, they hosted the Isthmian Games, second only to the Olympian Games of Athens. Winners were held in high esteem. The most popular had bronze statues made of their likenesses. But to both Jews and Christians, these games would have been anathema. Athletes would run completely naked. Gambling on the outcome of the contest would have been as addictive then as it is today. And a great deal of brutality and bloodshed occurred, for many of the sports sprang from the practice and arts of war. One of the most popular events on the ancient card was the Pancration, a violent and bloody free-for-all that resulted in eyes being gouged out of their sockets and ears torn from the heads. But Paul must have felt, one way or the other, that sports analogies could encourage the new Christians, encourage them to have the same kind of discipline and determination and endurance that athletes must have, to confront and even embrace the emotional and spiritual and physical demands of training in order to follow Christ. Now, I confess that sometimes Paul is a little much for me. I'm not sure any of us here would willingly relate to punishing and enslaving our bodies. So I looked up this passage in the contemporary translation called The Message, and here is how it sounds there. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. So run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after the one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. So it's a little different. But the urgency is still there. We train and we run. We choose and we live. We dedicate and devote ourselves for the long run, not for the immediate tangible prize. I think the translation helps expand and reframe Paul's message. In fact, I think that the words from many of the athletic coaches from the Olympics also reframe and expand Paul's message. Here's what the men's swimming coach, Eddie Reese, told his teams every year. The hardest skill to acquire in any sport is the one where you compete all out. Give it all you have, and you are still getting beat no matter what you do. When you have the determination to fight through that, it is very special. Bella Carli, the women's gymnastic coach, commented after a loss in 2008, "This team just wasn't good enough today, but they had the unity I've always wanted. To have an American team like this has always been a dream of mine." It wasn't about the winning. And from the Olympic basketball coach, Larry Brown, "You have to do something in your life that is honorable and not cowardly if you are to live in peace with yourself." All this wisdom ends up saying you play to win, but winning is never the point. There's a larger goal. It is, in an eerie way, like God's reply to Jeremiah in the passage that Mary read. Just before this passage, Jeremiah was once again lamenting the lack of divine justice in his life and the life of his people. God's reply, loosely translated, was, "Hey, guy, this present persecution is only going to get worse. So buck up. This race is for the long run." God said, "Lament, to be sure. This isn't fun. It's hard, but never give up. And never doubt me, for I am with you all the way." God said, "I am with you all the way." A peculiar kind of encouragement, but encouragement indeed. In the end, Jeremiah provided the means by which a despairing people could hope for a new future, but he never minimized the difficulty. And the prize we're after? Greek athletes competed to receive a perishable wreath. Now, this reference becomes particularly graphic when I tell you that rather than the beautifully woven laurel wreaths given at the Athenian Olympics, the Isthmian Games in Corinth made their winter wreaths out of wilted celery. True. I hate to think what the third and fourth prizes were like. But Paul says the prize we are after is different. He says running the race for Christ followers is the process of being shaped and formed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Our prize is in the running itself, not whether we end up on the podium. And there's no question, if you watched any of the Olympics or the accompanying interviews, no question about how hard and how long these Olympic athletes worked to get where they are. It is sheer grace that the Olympic organizers so graciously and courageously created the first ever refugee team for athletes who had trained for a lifetime but then had to flee their countries. The gratitude and relief and, yes, joy was for them to be able to compete at all. And there is no question about how many of these athletes gave the glory to God, gave thanks to God. It was as if each one of them knew that they could not have achieved this on their own without some sort of extra spiritual strength. Imagine yourselves. Imagine having such abundant and conspicuous faith as young Simone Manuel, the first African-American female to win an Olympic medal, individual medal in swimming. She tweeted immediately afterward, "God is working in me. I am so blessed and grateful. Isn't God awesome?" Could you see yourselves making the sign of a cross and kneeling in prayer as runner Usain Bolt did every single race? Could you be so devout and faithful as to kneel as a team after a devastating loss, as the Honduras soccer team did in the men's semifinal? Could you be so humble and generous as to bow heads with your competitor, with your opponent, before a boxing match, as two fighters did? And lest you wonder about the spirit of competition, could you be like the American runner Abby Daskino, who stopped her own Olympic race in order to help a fallen athlete by her side? That is wonderful, crazy stuff. Wonderful God stuff. So, what is your life goal? What are you willing to work for to become the Christian disciple that God invites us to be? What does it mean to you to win your race, to be the kind of person you most want to be? Do you have a vision of what that person would look like? I do. Early in my ministry, I was visiting someone in a nursing home. One of the older women that I passed in the front room admired my scarf. And then she took me off guard. "Can I have it?" she said. It took me by surprise. And I wish I had whipped it off and given it to that woman. Instead, my mind went to buying it on the street fair in Paris, and I clung to it. I have always regretted that. So as a Christian, I strive for more spontaneity and more generosity, for integrity and compassion and patience and joy. Yes, joy. Joy, not the absence of struggle and suffering, but the presence of God every minute of my life. So how prepared are you all, each of you, to make these quick, instinctive decisions in your race of life? So to that end, I have a little test to help you. This quiz was offered to 20 candidates seeking a job. How would you solve it? So, consider, you're driving along in your car on a wild and stormy and even dangerous night. You pass by a bus stop and you see three people waiting for the bus. One is an old woman who looks like she's about to die in very bad shape. One is your best friend who once saved your life. And one is the perfect life partner of your dreams. Now, this test assumes you're not married or already in love. So there could be only one passenger in your car, and you can't return to the bus stop once you've left it. You could pick up the old woman because she did look like she was about to die, and you should probably save her first. Or you could take your best friend because that friend once saved your life and it was right to pay back. However, you may never be able to find your perfect lover again. Which would you choose? The candidate who was hired had no trouble answering this question. The candidate said, "I would give my car keys to my old friend to take the old woman to the hospital, and I would stay behind and wait for the bus with the person of my dreams." Silly. Silly, of course, but you get the point. Spiritual discipline and spiritual training requires practice and ingenuity and faithfulness. It requires strength and determination, but in the end, it is a win-win situation, always. Looking out for others, being the loving, caring, God-centered person can have wonderful outcomes. But it requires us to think differently and then to act differently, always adjusting our integrity radar. In the end, it is a win-win. So, each of you, how are you running the race? Amen.